step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's that outside your door? Running around your house, scratching on the walls and knocking on the windows. Are you going to just sit there and be scared? Or are you going to go check it out? Welcome back to the swamp. It's good to see that you made it back. I don't know about you. There are some truly scary boogeymen out there. Whether it be these skimwalking creatures that we hear so much about, or these other odd and unexplainable things that are going on all across the planet. These stories truly keep me up at night sometimes. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a skimwalker story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. Joining me today is a rather new narrator. It's a good friend of mine who's been following the channel for a long time. They go by the name of Project Imminent Death. I would love for you guys to check out their channel. You can find a link to do so in the top of the description. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that'll freak you out tonight. I'll start by saying I'm from New Mexico, born and raised in Farmington to be exact. I grew up hearing stories about strange creatures that would roam around, but I didn't believe in them whatsoever. I had a grandfather that is called a roadman. He travels around the four corners praying for people, so the Native American church has always been part of my life growing up. So most of what I heard was from kids I would meet at peyote meetings. The stuff they would tell me seemed more like stories to scare kids. But anyways, my first experience happened at my grandparents' house. Their place was located in Upper Fruitland, about 15 minutes outside of Farmington, but on the reservation. I spent the night because my cousins were living there at that point in time. It was a pretty casual night, just us being kids. We were up pretty late playing games on their Nintendo 64, not even knowing I was about to have the crap scared out of me. Not literally, though. I remember we started to burn out, so we decided to watch TV in the living room and get ready to go to bed. I'd say it was around 2 a.m., close to 3. Scooby-Doo was coming up next on Boomerang. I'm sitting on the couch looking at the TV, and next, I saw someone standing in front of the window that was next to the TV. Where this thing was standing, it cast a perfect shadow. The shadow from it was perfect because the way the porch light was set up. You could see the outline perfect. Ears from what it had, over its head, a pointy snout, like a dog or something. As this thing hunched over, overlooking, as if it was trying to peer inside the window, you could see a necklace dangle from the neck. The necklace had sharp pointy teeth on it, and the outline of this person's face I will never forget. I got all of this from the shadow it cast outside the window. I noped out of there real quick. My cousins both came in running behind us, My cousins both came running behind me and asked why I ran. I explained to them what I saw, all while my knees were shaking and me trying not to cry in front of them. After that experience, though, I believed in all the stories I heard. I know that they are real, and if nobody believes me, I don't care. I'll never forget how this moment made me feel.
I am a Navajo from Window Rock, Arizona, capital of the biggest tribe in the US. This story is completely true to the best of my knowledge. I'm in a band called Ray Gurin. We had traveled to the beautiful town of Flagstaff, Arizona, so I guess you can say this story takes place between Flagstaff and Lupton, Arizona on I-40. Like I previously said, my band had played a gig in Flagstaff. When we attended a gig, we usually stay for the entire event, unlike a lot of bands that play their set time and leave immediately after. Not us. We stay and enjoy ourselves, and it's a show of respect to the headlining band and to the promoter. These events often go past midnight, and we usually go through the drive-thru at a Jack in the Box or whatever is open. After we got ourselves some food, it was time for the long 3-hour drive back to our hometown of Window Rock. We never stayed the night in Flagstaff because oftentimes we had to work the very next morning, and oftentimes we'd leave for Flagstaff the moment we got off work. Anyway, on our way home, my driver/roadie, who is now our permanent bassist, had a very unusual experience. We will call him Johnny. Johnny often insisted on driving, and this night was no different. We all eventually fell asleep and Johnny drove, of course. We played safe and have someone stay awake with him in the passenger seat. Somewhere in the darkness as we traveled along Interstate 40, Johnny had noticed a diesel close behind us. The diesel tailgated us for some time. As moments passed, Johnny noticed a shadow in the back of the van, moving from one side of the van to the other. He saw this because the light of the diesel behind us was shining through the windows. He brushed it off as one of us that was asleep and had momentarily woken up, but the shadow looked odd. Like it was outside of the van. The diesel had pulled up behind us again, and this time the diesel was flashing his lights at our van. This started to scare Johnny and the passenger, who we will call Harlow. And again they saw the shadow move about at the very back of the van. They couldn't see a whole lot, especially through the rearview mirror. Harlow kept his eyes open and often kept looking back. For a few moments, things went calm and quiet. Suddenly a diesel had pulled up next to our van as we drove, and the driver of the diesel got Harlow's attention and seemingly, desperately signaled to us as he gestured that something was on top of our van. He gestured by pointing up at our roof and the ceiling in his truck. He sped off immediately after. I woke up to a hard brake and feeling our van pull over and noticed that Harlow and Johnny had jumped out of the van and searched the van over. Inside, outside, under, on top, nothing. We don't know of any ghost stories on I-40, but we do know that skinwalkers can leave the reservation if they choose to do so. To this day, it baffles us, and we don't know what would compel a trucker to act so erratically. We don't know if the trucker was messing with us or if the trucker really did see something we didn't. We are all Navajo. Things like this often happen to Navajos. We seriously wouldn't doubt if it was a skinwalker. If you have taken the time to read this, then thank you so much. I have more stories to tell. Legitimate skinwalker stories, and fun fact, skinwalkers originated within the Navajo tribe. Skinwalkers were once good medicine men, but soon learned they could use their power for harm, and when they learned this, they never used it for good again.
This happened in midwinter, so about early January, and my cousin and I were out in the woods playing. Mind you, we were between the ages of 6 and 7 at the time, and we stumbled across a carcass. Now this carcass was of a robin bird freshly killed, but the way it was killed was unlike anything neither him nor I have seen before. Now, up until this point, I had been hunting with my dad every year since I was about 4 years old, and I had seen the dead bird and eaten carcasses before. It was torn in two, one half not too far away from the other, as its entrails had been eaten, but not anything else. It didn't look very conventional to me. Now, we get back to playing and notice other oddities in the small patch of woods we were in. The hill next to his barn was steep and snow-covered, but every so often there were patches of bird feathers, almost ritualistically plotted, all around to mark something. Maybe a territorial boundary, I assume. But anyway, further down the small trail that led to the road uphill, we suddenly see what I can only describe as a humanoid. It was thin and brown. It was hairless, and its eyes were soulless. It had deep, dark pools for eyes like craters in its face, and was built so wrong. Its arms were ungodly long. It was slim to a point to where you could see every bone. Now at this point, being the tough guy I and my cousins thought we were, we began to yell and throw our hands as we charged it. It was gone in a matter of seconds, bolting into the tree line. Past the road, and gone to the other side. After this, my cousin and I ran inside and almost began to cry, questioning what the heck it is that we just experienced. The story doesn't quite end there, though. Fast forward to 2016. My cousin is in the living room and he's watching TV. The dog had to go out for a dump or something like that, so we let it out and watched her. That's when this thing makes itself known. In the tree line, it leers up and looks dead at him. But when it noticed the rushing dog coming up at it, barking, it hunched over and froze. The dog stopped suddenly right in front of it and began to sniff, clearly confused. Soon enough, the dog walked off, used the bathroom, and went back inside. This thing glanced at my cousin one more time and walked off. It's 2020 now, and my cousin and I had only one more experience like this since, and that was when he was with his girlfriend. They were about to get down and dirty in his car, in a big patch of secluded woods by the house, when suddenly he heard a noise. He said it was similar to a bear, but with a more human tone to it. After hearing this, they haul ass back to the car, and ever since then, he refused to go back. After having an in-depth conversation with him, recollecting all this information, we agreed to try and hunt a skinwalker, or something. Take my story as you will, but I just want to ask you guys, what the heck did we see? What the heck is stalking the rural woods of New Hampshire to such an extent? Mind you, when I saw this thing, it was about the size of myself, a 7-year-old. When my cousin saw it, he said it was much larger, yet it retained the hairless and skinny physique. Should we hunt and try to kill it, or leave it be? Whatever this thing is, it's intelligent, ritualistic, and cunning. I'm just curious to find out if it was a skinwalker. I'd just like to start off by saying, I'm a huge fan of your channel. I watch all of your videos as soon as they come out. Most nights when I'm on patrol, I even re-listen to stories I've heard more than once already. My name is Alex. I'm a 25-year-old deputy sheriff for a small county in northern Minnesota. This all took place around October of 2019. My story starts out simple enough. It hadn't been all that interesting of a night. I had started my shift at 6 p.m. I worked 12-hour shifts, so I was just settling in for another miserable night of boring work. I stopped one person for a burnt-out headlight and was called to a domestic disturbance, typical small-town police work. The domestic call was fairly easy to handle, and before I knew it, it was midnight already. I was halfway through my shift now. Now, I will fill you in on a little backstory on one of my least favorite parts of my job. There is a small town of only 60 people in our county, my hometown actually, and about 9 to 12 miles to the east is a wetland conservation area, basically just a swamp. We just call it simply the Slough. To get to it, you have to go down the sketchiest road there is. It's not even really a road, more like a half-road, half-grass trail. It's bumpy as all hell, and not maintained by the highway department more than once a year. Most people just take a pickup out there and have no problem. Anyway, it is literally out in the middle of nowhere, as far as you can get from people around here, which makes it a fairly popular destination for booze cruisers, people who just drive around drinking alcohol, and underage drinkers. I've heard stories starting as far back as the 50s about people going out there to drink. I even will admit to doing it starting when I was 16 before I got to be a deputy. Lately, my department has been cracking down hard on things like that. As they should, I guess. And sadly, I work night shift, and is closest to my hometown. It's my job to make the rounds there each night. I started down the trail and it didn't take me long to become irritated with the bumps in the trail. My squad is an Impala PPV, and everyone else in our department had SUVs or pickups by now, but I'll stop complaining. Now, about this time, I think I should mention that I do have a German Shepherd canine in the back. Her name is Chloe, and we have a very strong bond. The department got her as soon as I was hired on at 20 years old, and I raised her from a pup to form such a deep relationship with her. I guess when I think back on it, Chloe must have known something was up even before I did. It took us probably 20 minutes to get to the lot at the end, and she started whining and her ears went back the whole way. Honestly, I just thought that she had to use the bathroom or something. I kind of gave things a quick glance out of the windows of my car and thought that we were all alone out here. I decided to get out and let her use the bathroom, but she was acting strangely. She would not get out of the car. I had to pull her out, and then all it seemed like is that she wanted to go back inside the car. I've listened to hundreds of your stories, as previously mentioned, so seriously, I have no idea why I didn't see this as a red flag. While I was struggling with her, though, I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. There is a dam in between two hills that regulates the flow of water out of the wetlands and into a state ditch where it flows to a river. And just over the lip of the hill, on my side, I noticed something catching the moonlight and glistening just enough to catch my attention. I grabbed my flashlight and Chloe's lead and began walking towards it. As I got closer, I saw that it was a black pickup truck with the passenger door hanging wide open. Upon further investigation, I found that it was hung up on top of some logs underneath it. The key was still on, and it was still in drive, but it wasn't running. The lights were also not on. However, there was something even more strange. The paint all over the truck was covered in deep, long scratches from what I had immediately thought was a bear or a timber wolf. Just some kind of large predator. Even the windshield was shattered and pushed in somewhat. So I figured that some struggle had to have taken place here. It didn't take me long to realize that I needed to hit my radio to call in the only other person on duty tonight, which happened to be my coworker and friend, Damien.
Hey Damien, I think I need some help out at the SLU, ASAP.
I said.
Something just doesn't feel right. I've got an abandoned vehicle out here with clear signs of animal attack. You'd better try to have dispatch get a hold of DNR and get them out here too.
He radioed back almost immediately and said he'd be on his way, but he was about 30 miles out. That being out of the way, I decided to poke around just a little bit more. I had to take Chloe back to the car first and put her inside. She had been dragging her heels the whole time I had been investigating, and I knew if I wanted to get anything done, she would have to sit in the car. But on my way back past the dam, she stopped dead in her tracks and went ballistic, just barking at the darkness towards the dam. I didn't know what to think about this, so I just fought and pulled her back the rest of the 300 feet or so to my cruiser. After I got her in, she didn't stop barking though. She jumped from door to door like she was mad. This really wasn't like her. I should have just gotten back in my car and waited for Damien right then and there. My curiosity though, just kept pushing me to go check out the dam. Before I left, I turned my emergency lights on so Damien could locate me easier. I walked down the hill and onto the little catwalk that crosses the dam. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary there. The gates were wide open, and the noise of the water was just deafening. The vapor filled the air. On the other side of the catwalk, there was another gate that went to another trail, but this was more like a four-wheeler or side-by-side trail that went deeper into the woods. I've never been all the way down that side of the trail, so I can't say I know much about where it goes. I made my way through the gate on the other side of the dam, walked up the hill, and I just couldn't see anything around there. This is where things start to take a turn for the worse, though. And everything began to fit together for me, that I was in real danger. Up until this point, I could hear Chloe carrying on barking and howling still out of the open window of my car on the other side of the dam, and the noise of all the water was still deafening. However, when I reached the top of that hill, it was almost like I passed through some sort of supernatural sound barrier. It caught me severely off guard. It was very disorienting. I shined my light around for a second, confused. I turned around and I could see plain as day that the water was still flowing just as fast. But how could it not be making a sound, I thought. It was just pure silence. I turned back around to the ATV trail, shined my flashlight, and there it was. Almost like it had just teleported there while I wasn't looking. About maybe 100 feet ahead of me was this creature. It was crouched in the middle of the trail, so I couldn't quite gauge how big it was. It had to be 5 foot tall just crouching. I had never felt fear strong enough to freeze me in place my entire life until this second. All I could do is stare at it, and I'll never forget what it looked like. It had a head of a deer, with big antlers and empty black eye sockets, yet somehow the torso of the skinniest, palest man imaginable. I could see a clear human ribcage outlined underneath the pale, almost plaster-colored skin. Its arms didn't look like they were much more than bones. They were longer than any normal person should be, though. But the claws. The claws were something straight out of a nightmare. They had to be 6 inches long and on both hands. I felt like I had stared at it forever, mesmerized by its shape and the faint flashing red and blue lights. When I finally felt like I could move enough for my radio, I ever so slowly inched my left hand to my right shoulder and pressed the talk button. The only words I could get out were just a quiet whimpering plea.
"David, please God help me."
That's when this creature immediately stood up. It went from 5 foot tall crouching to easily 8 foot tall, 9 foot at most, standing up. My heart just about exploded from the amount of fear I was feeling. I let go of the radio and quickly went for my .45 Colt handgun to draw in the direction of the creature. I just held my gun trained on it as it continued to stand in the same spot. Now, I could see that under its human torso, it had the legs of a deer to match its head. Then, I think it spoke. All it did was open its mouth, though. It didn't move its jaw around like a human would while they were trying to speak. The sound that came out of its mouth sounded almost like a recording in a very echoey room. It was a woman's voice, repeating, "Stop. No, please stop." It shut its mouth, opened it again, and repeated the same thing. And after that, it said, "Please, I don't want to die." In that same voice before letting out a sound as I had never heard before, it sounded like a woman screaming at the top of her lungs, but was some kind of demonic scream thrown on top of it. I think it was at this moment that I started hearing sounds in the woods again. At the same time as the scream, it took off running in my direction. I fired a shot or two off real quick from the casings that were found afterward, but I must have missed because I had already begun my turnaround to start running for my freaking life. I made it down that 10-foot hill in what I swear only felt like 2 strides. When I got to the gate, I tried my hardest to slam it closed without breaking my pace, but it didn't work as I had planned. I managed to slam the gate, but I managed to trip over the lip of the catwalk, falling flat on my chest, ripping my badge off my shirt, where it must have fallen into the water below. I heard the creature hit the gate, but I never turned around to see if it slowed down any. I was up nearly as fast as I was down, and running at full pace again. I made it across the catwalk and out of the gate on the other side. However, the hill on the side with my patrol car was a little steeper, and I remembered being down on my hands and knees trying to crawl up it as fast as I possibly could, but I wasn't quick enough. Suddenly, I could feel its claws dig into the back of my ballistic vest and grab me. Gun still in hand, I pointed it down behind me and fired off 3 more rounds blindly, because it was enough for it to let me go, and I continued crawling up the hill. Before I could even think about my actions, they were happening. I was at the top of the hill, now running towards my squad. I got to it and opened the door all in one swift move and threw myself in. But I was just a second too late to close the door. I slammed it, but it wouldn't close all the way. I mean, I knew the creature was right there. I was looking dead at it, but I didn't notice in the darkness that its hand was grabbing the top of my door, preventing it from closing. Its long claws were just about down to the bottom of my window on the inside. It began to pull up with its might, but I held on for dear life. I continued to fight it by trying to pull the door inward with every ounce of strength I had. This whole time, Chloe had been still sitting there going nuts in the back, barking and growling and snarling. I looked over and through the cage I saw that she had her teeth out and was foaming at the mouth, as I had never seen before. Not even when she was after hardcore criminals. I never want to see her like that ever again. The creature was getting frustrated, I think, at this point, because with its other hand it gripped my rear window bars through the open window and started to violently shake the whole car. Thinking about it now, I don't know how I was able to hold the door shut against its sheer power. Maybe I got super strength when I was fighting for my life, I don't know. But I was starting to lose my grip fast though, so I made the last minute decision to grab my pistol I had thrown in the passenger seat. After I grabbed it, I aimed it at the creature's hand and fired one shot. It let out another ungodly screech. It stopped pulling, and while I had its hand trapped, I moved the pistol down, pointed it right at the creature's head through my driver's side window, and fired. The glass in my window shattered from the first shot. The creature pulled back and away from my car. I kept pulling the trigger after that shot through the window, but all I heard was clicking. I had fired all 7 shots in my .45, but I didn't waste a second of the opportunity those last 2 bullets gave me. I yanked my column shifter down into reverse and stepped on it. I swung the front end of my car towards the exit and took off down the trail faster than I ever had before. I was trying desperately to get through to Damien or dispatch on my radio, but there was nothing. I could hear nothing. All I could even get out of my mouth was,
"Help! Shots fired! Help!"
I was maybe only 4 miles down the trail, just past where it turned from the grass back to gravel, when all of a sudden something jumped out in front of my headlights. It was a woman. At least I wanted to believe it was. She was wearing a black tank top, white shorts and no shoes. She was just soaked. She had come up from the bottom of the ditch. She had cuts all over her body, which I later found out she had gotten from being tossed around in the ditch by the rapids near the dam. She had made the call to jump into the water to escape. I just barely missed hitting her. She ran through the cloud of dust to my passenger side. She begged and pleaded for me to let her in. She was hysterical that something was out here, which I knew all too well already, but this woman's voice sounded so real. It didn't have that echoey sound that the creatures did. I was just trying to take a second to think over whether I should let her in or not. But then, through my busted out window, I could see and hear branches breaking in the forest like they were getting closer. I made the decision to unlock the door. She jumped in as soon as I hit the button and I just stepped on it again. This time I didn't stop for anything. When I was almost back to town, that's when I saw emergency lights headed towards me. More than one vehicle. I met Damien first, 2 state troopers behind him, and even a border patrol from 2 towns over. I still didn't stop. I wasn't stopping until I got to town. They all turned around and followed me back to town 100 miles per hour the whole way. That's basically where the story ended for that night. We were both so traumatized, we were sent to the hospital to be checked over, and Damien took Chloe for the rest of the night. I'd never met the woman before, but it turns out she was just out there like I had figured, to have a few drinks in this cool spot her friends had told her about. When the creature surrounded her truck, she tried to take off in reverse, but was in drive instead, and that's how she drove off the hill and got all hung up. She then ran off out of the passenger door to escape into the ditch. I say creature in quotations because really, as far as the report goes, I couldn't say that I was attacked by a deer person, skinwalker, whatever that was. So we both to go with unknown wild animal. Besides, all the investigation at the scene only ever really turned up deer tracks and broken glass. I live in Oregon, specifically in Yamhill County, a moderately sized, mostly rural county. I'm half Native American, half Caucasian, with my tribe being an Algonquin-speaking people of the Anishinaabe. Unfortunately, as I live in Oregon and the Anishinaabe are located around Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Canada, and a pandemic going on right now, I haven't been able to visit my specific tribes in quite a while. I'm over 18, though I don't want to disclose my own age for privacy. I live with my mom, who is where I get my Caucasian from, and my sister. My dad passed away 2.5 years ago. We have 3 dogs of varying sizes and 4 outdoor cats. In the part of Oregon that I live in, you're never more than 10 minutes away from a forest, 20 from a mountaintop, and even in cities, there's plenty of forestries. I live just outside one of these towns, only a short, several-minute drive, but far enough from where the light pollution doesn't heavily affect me, and I can see the stars rather clearly. I've lived at this house since I was a kid, and though I've always gotten the creeps about this place since it's right next to a giant house, it's been a while since anything I could categorize as paranormal happened to me. I'm a pretty skeptical person, and I'm not so superstitious. I think science could explain about 95% of the mysteries in the world, you know? Though, I've seen some stuff I have no rational explanation for, and the things that have happened to me over the past 3 days has definitely solidly fell into that category. I know a decent bit about skinwalkers. They come from the Ute and Navajo tribe legends, being witches that are the antithesis to Medicine Man, commonly found around the Four Corners area of the United States and around Navajo reservations. But my knowledge is limited to different internet retellings of the legends, so I only know a few baseline rules. Don't fall for their imitation voices. If you smell dead, rotting meat, then you should leave ASAP. Don't acknowledge its presence directly. Don't say its name out loud unless you want to attract one. If you don't want to be harmed, then you'll need to spread white ash. Basically, all the basics I'm sure you've heard a million times. How much of this is true, I'm still unsure of. For a number of reasons, the largest being that I don't think any of the videos I watched were made by natives who would have more intimate knowledge of these creatures. But I could be talking out of my butt. I don't know. Some background information for this property. According to the previous owners, who are a part of the family who has lived here for generations, there was once a log cabin built on here on top of a native burial ground, which is also on a long inactive volcano. Sounds cliche, I know, but it's absolutely true. There has been a number of odd, unexplainable things that have happened here. It's quite the phenomenon, which I'll keep short to keep this, story going. The most notable include 12-foot metal doors shaking on their own, with no wind or anything to do so. An old 50s metal gas oil can fly up from behind a ton of junk directly at one of my dad's friends by itself. A running sound, followed by what sounds like a door slamming, but nobody was there to run or slam a door. Sometimes, it even sounds like glass is being shattered at 3 a.m. Needless to say, that while I haven't encountered any Bigfoot or anything like that, I have seen some stranger things that have no logical explanation. The property I live on is around 10 acres in size. The house is decently large, with a 1-car garage and office, which is where my sister is currently chilling out at. Next to that is a large metal garage around 200 yards east from the house. The smaller garage and the house have motion lights all around their perimeters for proper illumination in case anything or anyone gets near the house. But the larger garage had only a halogen bulb outside its main door that went out last week sometime. And now at night, that entire area of the property is pitch black. The house has three doors, two on a porch to the front yard and a driveway, one to the laundry room and into the backyard. One on the eastmost side is the living room with nigh windows, and one of the doors, a kitchen area with a view into the porch, another living room type area, and then a hallway to the bathrooms and bedrooms. The office in the smaller garage has two entrances, one heading directly into the backyard that's sliding glass, and two partially iron, partially glass doors that head into the garage itself. The metal garage was built over the aforementioned cabin and has an attic that spans over the entire length of it. It has a car lift, a paint booth, and can fit probably a limousine, and whatever else you need in there, really. Around 15 feet behind the shop is a large forest that I have never stepped foot into due to there being a crazy old man living in it. While I haven't been in it myself, my sister and her friends have heard and seen some things in there. Each time, they would return with odd objects. Though they haven't gone into the forest for several years, I remember them bringing out stuff like Baphomet statues, animal bones, and weird rocks. Aside from these things, the only things we could see out there, animal-wise, were baby deer, just passing on through your yard to get into the forest. Now for the current events. Around 4 a.m. on Saturday night, I was preparing to go to bed out in the living room. My room is painted black, and being the summer here, it gets ridiculously hot at day. I don't have a good AC at the moment, so I'm sleeping out in the living room. As I was about to sleep, I heard the cats fighting. Or, at least, I thought they were fighting. Something not too odd, you know? They're mostly males and get pretty riled up. But then I heard something else. Three distinct knocks on one of my doors. This immediately freaked me out for a few reasons. For one, it was 4 a.m. and pitch black outside, and these were knocks far too loud for an animal to make, and it sounded far too high for them either. Second, my motion tracker lights were still off. After the knocking, my dogs headed towards the front door. This one is partially iron, partially glass, like those on the office, and lost their freaking minds with barking. Something they only ever do when they see something they don't recognize. I locked all my windows and closed all the blinds, and just sat on my couch bed. In my living room, facing out towards the front yard, there's a half-circle shaped window with no blinds that allow you to see when the motion trackers turn on or off. I sat, staring at this window for about an hour and a half until they finally came on and the sun came up. I didn't have the courage to look at what was causing the lights to trigger, but from the stories I've heard of skinwalkers, I wasn't going to take that risk. I've been unable to sleep again thanks to this, and the fact that it's happened three nights in a row, I just don't know. Now, while I think it could be a skinwalker, I do think it could also be a Wendigo. They're from Algonquin-speaking tribes as well, so I don't know. I've been trying to get a hold of a medicine man here in Oregon, but all I can find on Google is old articles, almost as if it refuses to let me find the help I need so desperately. If anyone knows where I can find one to come bless the house and the property, I would be elated to get this over with. These past few nights alone have been hellish, and I would rather not have to see or hear what this thing is anymore. I swear this entire story is true, through and through, and I just want peace out here. Sorry if any of you don't take much of this serious right now, but I would really appreciate any sort of help in the comments. Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange skinwalker stories sent in by viewers just like you. Man, then, I'd love to know which story tonight was your favorite. Number 4 really had me creeped out while reading it. Honestly, I'd probably just have to quit the police force altogether after that experience. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day. All things natural and supernatural. Much love to my friend from the Project Imminent Death channel who helped me read story number 2 today. If you enjoyed their voice and their storytelling abilities, please be sure to check out their channel. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. Give them a subscribe and check out some of their videos. They're an upcoming narration channel, and I think that you guys would enjoy them. Do you have a creepy story that you would like to hear on a future video? Well, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep these videos going. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else you find your favorite scary story podcast. I appreciate all the support you guys give to the Swamp. It really does help me out a ton to see all the likes, comments, and support that you guys give the show. It really does help me keep going. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.